Hey, what's up, guys? This is Alex. I'm back with Gray Area, and we're here today with Born Dirty. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, good, man. You can 100% call me Mika. It's cool.
Yes. That's what I'm going to do from now on.
Yeah.
So where are you at in the world today, Mika?
I'm in Paris right now.
Must be nice being back to visit family after so long.
Yeah. It's been great. It's been great to catch up. It's been 3 years. So, yeah, man, it's been a trip. There's a lot going on here in France at the moment, especially in Paris, with like a lot of riots and a lot of shit going on here. So, you know, yeah, it's just nice to just be with the family and just, you know, catch up. And did a little trip to London. Was amazing. You know, London to me is home. I would really always forever consider London home.
Yeah.
It's the longest I've ever lived anywhere. And then
you were there for 17 years, you say?
Yeah, 17 years. And so it was amazing to go back because I haven't been there in years. And then, yeah, man, not good. Just having a, you know, a great time, studios and sessions, family, eating way more I should, you know, like
that's what I was going to ask you. What are you eating while you're in these places? My wife is actually part French.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
You know,
French food is amazing.
That's the thing, man. It's just like here in France, most places the food's good, right?
Yeah.
Like, not everywhere's amazing, but most places it's good. And then from, you kind of like have good, I think the standard is here in France, you know, standard in America would be like here. It's just not to compare. Yeah, it's just like really just what it is. And then, but then, you know, again, I can't generalize for America. America is just like saying in Europe, like, you know, it's that
this
big.
Is true.
It's this just is like, true. I can never like, I just did, but I can't generalize. So I don't know. In California, you get really good food. In New York, you get really good food. In Texas and Bowman, I'm sure you just go around and then find it. But France, I've been eating nonstop. And I've been eating like sweet stuff more because here the, you know, boulangerie, like the bakeries.
Oh, the bakeries are amazing.
I had a little, the first bakery I stepped in, like for the first time in years. Yeah. I had a little, like, literally that voice came out. It was like, I was just shook. It smelled so good. Everything looked insane. And that's just every bakery. That's your standard. It's just basic, really good. And then some will be incredible. Some will be a bit less good, but whatever. But, you know, mostly it's just so much food here. But I'm not complaining. Go home and go back on the... Just training, just eating back like I usually do. It's healthy and everything's fine.
Hey, when you're out of the country, when you're out of home, I feel like anything goes in terms of like what you eat. You got to go all in.
I do. I try to be careful, but sometimes it's hard. And then I try to be gracious with myself and just be like, do you know what, mate? It's fine. Like, you know, you do well at home, you do well, you know, it's just, you know, it's okay. But then it's the second day, a third, a fourth, you know, once it's 3 weeks.
That's a long time.
It becomes like you rewiring your brain. Oh, no, I can do it now. And then now you're just doing it.
Right.
You know, and then that's why, like, today I caught myself. It was just like, man, like, I'm just doing it now. I'm not even thinking about it. So that's just, anyway, it's a lot of food talk, but it's
still you have reverse like, culture shock when you get home.
Culture shock, man. Culture shock. And then you get to London and it's just like Caribbean food, Indian food, like banging, like ridiculous food, like so good, you know?
I still say the best curry I've ever had was in London.
Oh, man, of course. I mean, I went to India, so I had some serious business.
Oh yeah, I haven't been there yet, so I'm the top of my food ladder is London for curries right now.
Yeah, but London is is insane for
Well,
Indian food.
since we're talking about all this multicultural stuff, this is like a good way for me to get into one of my first questions. And you have like this massive multicultural background. You were born in Israel, you moved to France, then you lived in the UK, and you finally moved to the US. Can you talk a little bit about how having all of that stew of cultures like contributed to your musical DNA?
Yeah, man. I mean, I truly feel, like on my mom's side, we also have my grandma's, my grandma's with one was Tunisian, the other one was Algerian. On my grandparents' side, like one was France, like south of France, the other one was like Eastern European, Hungary, Czechoslovakia. So all that, and then it keeps moving like to Russia and then Malta, Sicily. I have like it's quite insane, and I grew up with this in my mind, and then so I always had love for multicultural, like just it was just it that in itself is part of my DNA, literally. And so I think in my music it was just mixing thing. I tell you, when I make music, it's the same thing. If you knew me, when I cook, when anything I do, I always mix things. Like I try to mix things up in I don't want to say classy because it's not, but in a respectful, in a light way, not just like, oh, let's just take this and this and make a Frankenstein out of that. It's not quite that, but naturally I will always mix things. I love it. And I think in my music, if you dissect it, you might be able to hear that, but definitely, my background with North Africa, Middle Eastern, for the rhythms and percussives, like a lot of that. And then, then the UK just has, imprinted on me like very heavily. So I think there's yeah, it's definitely there within my music. Sometimes you can hear it more, sometimes a bit less, and sometimes it's very, very clear.
Yeah, there's definitely been, there was a string of tracks, I want to say in like 2020 to 2021, where I feel like you somehow imprinted all of that into what you were producing. Maybe it was stuff that you were producing during the pandemic. And I know you kind of talked to Will about having this this kind of free, a lot of free writing sessions in during the pandemic where you were just like, I don't give a fuck about what I'm writing, I'm just gonna write. And I feel like you really imprinted a lot of that onto the string of releases that came out in like the last, I want to say, 2 years.
Well, you have to consider that a lot of the songs I release, not all, but a lot of them sometimes can be as old as 7 years. Like, yeah,
Well,
like my,
I mean, and that's
like,
something you've talked about too, is you've been consistently ahead of the curve for years. You've said publicly that sometimes you're releasing stuff that goes back so long because you felt like d labels weren't ready for that music yet, or they flat out said they didn't have a place for it.
yeah, it's more that. It's just like the rejections always happened over the years. And I say rejection because this is what it is. It's just like, oh, what is it? It was either like, what is this? Or no, this is not for us, or we don't know what to do with this. And then, years later, boom, comes out on labels. It's just like sometimes it's just timing. I'm not trying to make, I just sit there, I just make stuff. I just make music. I just jam. I have a good time making things. And then I've been really shit at being on time. I've always been really shit of like, just like stay with what's current. Just boom. I don't have a good time doing that. I don't have a good time making music that is for the purpose of being current. Not at all. And so sometimes just It's hard because we're all insecure. We all suffer from insecurity. Most of us, I don't want to say all, I don't know you all, but like all my
I think that's a
friends,
fair
all my
statement.
family, all the people I know, we all suffer from
Yeah.
insecurity more or less. And so, when a lot of rejections comes towards what you create and feels to you that is the most organic outburst, like from you, and it's kind of like
Yeah.
people, like a lot of people are like, I don't know, but you start to question yourself, like, it's just like, oh man, like, am I worth it? Is this what I'm doing like makes any sense at all? And then
Right.
eventually, it's just like, I mean, like the So Big track that just came out on Thrive.
Yeah.
The very first version of it, and honestly, the very first version is not that far from what came out, but yeah, it started 7 or 8 years ago. Like the original version of that is like that synth, that really hard kick, that's
Yeah.
7 years old. That the demo is like 7 or 8 years old. I touched up the mix since, and I redone the vocals. That's it. But you know what I mean? It's just like 8 years ago, no one had a fucking clue what to do with that. And then today, I think some people want something else than generic tech house. Some people
Right.
want something else, like it's faster, things are moving. Like it's kind of like some artists came through with like some other shit, and then I feel like, oh, maybe there's room for me now with some of that stuff. And then that tribal stuff I've been making. If you go back, I've been making. If you go all the way back, I've been making tribal shit forever, in a set,
Right.
and Latino vocals on stuff, forever. And now this is just like what's massive,
Now it's the thing.
and then I don't want to do it.
It's by the time it gets into in vogue, it's washed for you already. You've already moved on to something else.
I have, and for me, it's not like, I think the good thing is I'm in a place today where I just love just people do what they want. Like
Yeah.
you would have even asked me a year ago, maybe I wasn't there. But today I'm like, if that's what you want to do, do it. If you have no clue of what to do and you just want to copy this and just do it, do your thing. Like that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
That it, not in the sense of like we're different, like in the sense of like it's got nothing to, that's not going to impact me. Do it, have a good time. If that feels positive to you, that's just a good thing regardless.
Yeah.
And
100%.
but I also do feel sometimes some types of way of like, especially with the whole Latino movement, generic tech house with Latino vocals on it, just makes my head a little like, I kind of wish people knew about, I
You can
want to say
say
it,
it.
real producers has been making that shit for years. And I don't mean me,
No.
people that literally make, Latino
Latin
house,
house. Latin house. Yeah.
Latin house,
This has been part of the scene since the beginning.
since the
Like
beginning.
there's an entire group of producers that came out of New York
Sit straight
and
up.
out of Chicago that have been doing this forever. That this is not brand new. It's
It's
not a
not
new
brand
thing.
new, but if you listen to the stuff from like the 90s, it doesn't sound like what's happening now. But
Nothing like it.
I really wish like there was a little bit more recognition, over. It's just the times. It's just like that. There's so much saturation, so many people making music. Blah, blah, blah. It's almost like we don't have time to have recognitions for the people who's been making this, or for whatever. It's just like, kind of like, let's go, let's go, let's go. What's new? What's new? It's all microwaved in a way, and it's, for
Yeah.
me sometimes. So all that to say, I just recently I've just kind of like been trying to be a little bit more on time.
That's good.
A bit more focus on like, do you know what? Fuck it. Let me just be a bit more on time, but only like by making the shit I want to make, and then be like, how far is it in your opinion from what's happening here, left and right?
Right.
Well, it's not too far. Cool. I'm not like, all right, let's go. And so I'm going away. I think I'm going way back. Like, I think my sound is a mix. And you can hear some of the UK shit in there, but now I'm going like really more UK, like
Yeah.
with my new stuff.
That's just, it's kind of a small compromise to make for you though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're like, I feel like you're saying at one point in time, you were so steadfastly dedicated to staying in your, I don't want to say staying in your lane. I hate that term, but your lane was on the other freeway from everybody else's and you were making amazing music. And now you're kind of like trying to find a way to merge those two places together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these are your words. Thank you.
They are.
I appreciate that. I wouldn't say I wasn't in my own lane and I was away from, I don't even think that. I swear.
Right.
It's not even that.
100%. I feel it.
Yeah. It's more like I make shit. If people love it, I don't think about it twice. If you don't like it, I'll think about it a little bit, but I just keep doing what I do. And sometimes I make, you know, whatever, but like, I think like, yeah, it's a small compromise to like today, just be like, you know what? Let's make some cool shit, but maybe that will have an impact like directly today instead of like,
yeah,
you know, like in 5 years again, you know? And I remember there's a song, it's called Trippy. I actually took it down from Spotify a few years ago. It was one of the first Bondo releases. And it was like a hybrid of tribal house, tribal techie house and Chemical Brothers. Right. It was just like, that's what I would say. It's called Trippy. One of my favorite tunes. And it starts, it's really Chemical Brothers. And it's got that Chemical Brothers kind of like voice and synth and it's drop. And then second breakdown breaks down. And then second drop is like tribal, like really super minimal tribal. And I remember playing that in America when I started to play that more. And I swear like the crowd was like, every time it dropped, I'd be like, wow. And then it'd be like people be like, what the fuck is this? And then today, if it's just, you know, you play anything with some fucking congas on it or a bongo or,
go nuts.
You know, and people go fucking crazy for it. And I love it. It's finally there. But I was just like, man, like shit. Like, are people not like feeling the tribal stuff? Because to me, tribal is like the most absolute core basic of music.
All music.
Our music, you know, we started out there with like with our hands and hitting the floors, and that was just tribal, like, do you know what I mean? The rhythms, like, there was that was that. That's basically my core. All my tracks have like percussive shit in there, but I'm just glad it's moved like to a place where a lot of producers are doing it. It has that soul, you know, we moved from like hard EDM, like da, 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 super commercial vocals to like, you know, more minimal tribal, you know, shit. Even if it's more generic, it's still more soulful in a way. So I like the journey that where we are now, that kind of like where it was. But yeah, man, that's that.
Well, since we're talking about like coming back around to things, like I want to talk about like your journey in dance music, like from raver to producer.
Yeah.
You were like fortunate enough to be part of like a real kind of early formulation of the dance music scene.
Yeah.
You went to like Spiral Tribe parties in France.
Yeah.
When you were really young.
And England.
And England. Like, how do you feel like, what was it about being in dance music that kept you coming back? Like, why did you decide at some point early on that, like all of us lifers, this is going to be like part of your personality now?
I was one of the youngest in a group of older kids and young adults in the south of France. I wasn't really at home much anymore, and I was just like just always out and sleeping on couches here and there with like older friends. And that group was very like, at the time, you know, I learned a good part of music from that crew. And that crew would listen to anything from like electronic music, early electronic music, like breaks, house, techno, to like rap, like, you know, early rap, like Wu-Tang, Beastie Boys, you know, Biggie, and then, you know, goth music, and then indie from like UK indie rock. Like it was these nights where we would play, they would play everything. It would go from Rage Against the Machine to Pulp to The Smiths to Wu-Tang to Bauhaus and then to Chemical Brothers. And you know, it basically, that's how, for me, I never knew
That was like,
anything else.
yeah, that was like your musical education right
It
there.
was just like you go out and you hear all these good shit, and you know,
Yeah.
never really understood this kind of like one lane type of thing. And then the raves, the proper old school raves started to happen
Yeah.
in South of France. You know, you'd have to go in to a payphone and call that number, and they'll tell you where to go and get another map. And then it was literally this like, you know,
Everything was a journey.
it was a journey, you know. And then we'd
Yeah.
go in and we'd get there in the middle of nowhere, like, and you know, it'd be like we'd drive and then would everyone have to be silent in the car. Yeah.
You can hear
And you get closer and you can, and then you're all your fucking DNA, everything, your fucking molecules are like, you know, and it's kind of scary but exciting, and you don't know what the fuck's going, especially at the beginning. And you know, and you get there and it's just like this other world,
Yeah.
like it's like the world and then this thing like that was completely out of everything I knew. That was this one lane. It was very separate. It was very kind of radical. And it was
Yeah.
very punk. And it was very like only turntables, only vinyls. DJs were not allowed to fuck up. Like it was very
Right.
hard. It was just kind of like radical, like, but everyone was having a great time. But also this like shit has to be good. You
Yeah.
know? So it was kind of scary. And
Yeah,
you
no, people were real militant about how good
know,
music needed to, how every DJ needed to
militant,
be. Yeah.
militant. I was there for like some fuck ups and it was not fun. It was not like, it was straight. It was, thinking back to me, it's too much. Too much. Too
Yeah.
much. I get it. Like, you know, I played with musicians and artists and then and, you know, you watch the classical world, the jazz world, you know, the super high level. Like I'm comparing it in the sense of like it's radical and it's like militant. There was that as
Yeah.
well in that, and you just had to know your craft and you just had to be good. And so that was just beautiful, man. It was just incredible. And then we did more and more of that. And then you know, I was kind of like lost. I was lost. I was searching, like we all are when you're, you know, a teenager, you're trying to figure things out. And you know, you find this group and you do the drugs, and then suddenly you do LSD, and you're just like, oh my fucking days, like this is life. Of course, it's
Yeah.
not, it's not, it's not life, but it's
No.
part of life, and it's part of
Yeah.
something that if you use it as a tool, it's just wonderful. But the problem is, when you're that young, you really think this is life, and you think this is it, and you think you can live like that your whole life, it doesn't matter, you know. Eat a bag of chips and drink a water and then just take some more tabs and you're good.
And you're good.
And you don't sleep for like literally 3 days. But eventually, as much as I loved it, I was also always one foot in there and one foot outside of it, because I was always making music, always playing
Right.
instruments, always playing in bands, always like singing, whatever, playing drums in one band, playing guitar in another, playing bass in another. Everyone at one point was just like, you know, they didn't really like me in that sense, because they were like, you know, I was just running thin and I wasn't really
Yeah.
dedicated, but to anything in particular. But looking back, I've learned so much from that, you know. And when I moved to London, it's really when I started to make electronic music, you know.
Well, let's talk about that too. You said you've always been kind of one foot in and one foot out,
Yeah.
and you have like a classical music back, you have a classical training in your background.
Yeah.
When did you discover that you had a talent for making music, and how did that progress in parallel with your discovery of this other life?
We never really had instruments at home. And but I knew my dad, when he was younger, played some guitar, and I knew he was playing drums, And he would always get the pots and pans from the kitchen. And, you know, we wouldn't be able to have drums or even like a darbuk or anything. So it was just like wooden spoons and then pots and pans. And my dad's got rhythm. Like,
yeah.
And he can sing. He's a musician. He's never exploited that because right. he couldn't. Because life, but, and choices. But I grew up in this environment where I had a dad that really was musical, but on the yeah. raw side of things, like it's just raw. And then one day my sister's boyfriend just walked in my room and was like, "Here, I have a guitar. Do you want it?" I was like, "Yeah, okay." Just took it. And then, you know, instantly it was just like glued to the guitar and playing, playing and playing, playing. I think by the time I was like 15, I was playing drums, bass, singing, guitar, percussions. Like my room was filled with instruments, and I would sing at home covers and covers and covers. My neighbors would get mad. My parents didn't care. My parents were just like,
"Yeah,
he's that's what he does, and that's it," you know. And I was shit at school, and I would still get fucking slapped around because I was shit at school. But I was right. good at music, and so right. I knew that I was good at music straight away. I think like it was the connection. The path was super clear to me. And that's all yeah. I wanted to do. And I would dream. I literally would go to bed and dream like I would play in front of thousands of people and it's going to be amazing. And, you know, it was a dream. You know, it was all yeah. a dream.
Dream.
And, you know, right. and then it's just that. And then like kept playing in bands and then boom, boom, boom. And then that was that. I got to London and started making electronic music. As well, it was all hybrid all the time. So I was very much into yeah. the Ninja Tune, Warp, like these labels that was just anything goes, anything that is
yeah.
sick will go on there. And, you know, that was my DNA as well, like Warp Records, Ninja Tune, and then and so many more. But that was particularly what, you know, I was focused on. And this hybrid, everything that was hybrid made sense to me. It was like, yeah, that's just music. And
yeah.
so I'd do that, some beatsy stuff with like some instruments, some singing, some way back, way before I can even give you an example. I was making like hip hop beats with like kind of like indie grunge vocals, like proper, like, which, you know, today we've heard it many times. Back then,
right,
it was just like,
that wasn't,
no, it was not. And literally, no one would want to sign it. I'd have like, anyway, so this is that. And then it took years. You know, I did the three jobs. Like, I would work all the time to pay rent. Boom, 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 boom. Years and years and years and years. Took forever until I had a breakthrough. But I did.
Yeah.
And then I played in front of thousands of people. And then,
I was just going to say, you, that thing that you were laying there thinking about.
I did.
It's happened, like, over and over and over again for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you must be so grateful
yeah.
For that, but also it's really cool to think back on yourself back then and be like, had I known just an inch of this back then, like yeah. how, like, it's just so crazy to be able to look back on that and be, and that's just it's a beautiful thing,
man. There is not a chance, as much as I was dreaming about it,
mm-hmm.
the chances were very slim, like so yeah. slim. And so there is not a time where, like, I play, like, a big fucking festival or a show. You know, we're a show and we have even, like, a few, you know, some people there and we all going. I'm just like,
yeah.
damn, man. Like, I remember dreaming about this and I'm doing it, you know, and I'm doing it with friends and I've got a crew and, you know, everyone's here fucking having a wicked time and I'm getting paid for it. And I'm right. getting paid for this show. What would have taken me like a month and a half of like work every single day, like 7 days a week. You know, my first job, I was getting paid £3.20 an hour, you know,
fucking
it's still, yeah. and you know, nothing special.
It's mind blowing.
Nothing special in the sense of we all used to get paid £3.20. I wasn't like, yeah, it but wasn't it's, just me, but just the jump.
Yeah, no, it's crazy to think about how far you've come.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
going from dreaming about this, making that little, to living it.
Yeah.
And that progression is, you know, it's it's a really just several strokes of good fortune for you, yeah. and an immense amount of talent.
Yeah, well, definitely luck and hard work.
Yeah,
you could be okay at what you do,
yeah.
But hard work, dedication. I'm really like resilient. I'm very stubborn and I'm very resilient, and I got beat up really hard, up and down, left and right, in many ways, and just fucking resilient, man. It's my path. Like, I knew it was beyond, oh, I want to be a producer. I want people to put their hands up for me. It's none of that. It's beyond that. It's just like, tomorrow this could all stop. My path on this planet is to be a creator,
yeah.
A healer in the sense of the creation. You know, that's my path. Yeah. If I can make money out of it, great. If I can't, I'll do something else, but I'll still create, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was fortunate enough to spend like a week at DJ Jazzy Jeff's house.
Yeah.
And like in his studio, hanging on his wall, he has this huge picture, and the words written in it are, music isn't what I do, it's who I am.
Yeah.
And that's something like, I don't think I'd ever seen something so beautifully state how I feel about music.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, it's just so simple, but that's how it is. There's nothing, I've never ever imagined myself doing anything else other than being involved in music like this, being in this lane, and this lane is music.
It's amazing, man. When you know, you know, you know.
Yeah.
I think I always talk about this with my girl. It's I believe it's called the Dharma. Okay. So the Dharma is your path, is what you are born to do, and you find your Dharma. So I know that's my Dharma. Luckily, when we have a dog, and my girl, when she took the dog from the pound, she was like, that's the dog. And the dog was called Dharma, and we didn't change it. It was just that, you know, I don't know. It's all connected to me. I love it. You know,
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Born Dirty. Isn't like the first iteration of you being a dance music producer. Before Born Dirty, you had Born Dirty was a duo, but before that you did Son of Kick.
Yeah.
Which, and the sound was simply, you know, there are elements of what you do now in that, but the sound was completely different. You were like really early on the bass music scene.
Yeah.
What was the transition like going from that into working as a duo with Born Dirty and then carrying off on your own?
I mean, Son of Kick was exactly the same thing that I felt even with Born Dirty, in a sense of, I was always making, I mean, Son of Kick was, I was really making, it was pouring out of me. Son of Kick was just like, there was no, I had no foundations of like, you know, this guy be like this guy fit there, this, not nothing. Like, I find Born Dirty very like molded. You know,
yeah.
Son of Kick was just like, I just do what the fuck I want. Not even, there was not even a thing where it was like, I do what the fuck I want. There was not even a thought of it. It was just like, okay, I've got a few hours after, you know, between work breaks and, you know, between sleeping and, you know, constantly making music when I wasn't working. And it was just like, and, you know, it's London and it's work and it's, you're basically broke all the time and blah, 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 and you make music. And that's what Son of Kick is, if you hear it. And I was making stuff that, honestly, again, lots of labels didn't want to sign. You could just go back and just be like, but maybe it wasn't that good. Fair enough. I don't know. But also I would get like, oh no, you know, it's too fast, or that's not the right BPM, or dumb shit like that. Today you don't really like, it's not, you know, you can still find, but it's not quite like that.
Yeah.
But I loved making, you know, these grime. I was early in like making like fucking weird bass music with like grime rappers on it, and then like, you know, took like the early dubstep and just, I was like, do you know what? I love to hear this way faster, and started to make basically early dubstep way faster. That a lot of people refused to hear at first. They were just like, England was so radical on that 140 thing, that it was just that. And then America kind of embraced that side of the music faster than the UK did.
100%.
And then, but I always, you know, because I always loved house and techno, electronic breaks. I was already making stuff that kind of could have been Bondi kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I go to shows in America with Son of Kick, and I play halftime stuff, like blah, 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 and I go into 4/4, and literally, like, I'd get booed. Like, the crowd would literally be like, wow. Yeah, it was, you know, I don't want to mention names, but like the people I'd open for and stuff like that, the crowds were like hard. Like, it was just halftime. And even my halftime shit was so weird that sometimes I could feel it wasn't like quite it for that. But 4/4, anything house, anything a bit UK, anything a bit breaks, it was just like a no go. And eventually I was like, fuck this, man. I didn't want to be in that scene anymore because of that. I was just like, this is so closed-minded. I'm just going to start moving. And then I met Lyndon, and we start making music together. It's Lyndon J. And then we just start making wicked tunes. Like, some things are just like really, you know, if you go listen to Don't Stop, Get It, and you look at when we released that, it was just really ahead of time. Like,
100%.
Wicked tune. Like, I still play it. It still sounds so good to me, this tune. Because we were just like making weird shit. Like, we were just like, okay, club shit, but like whatever, like, goes. And then Static, like a lot of, like, even Trippy, we made together, the tune I talked about earlier. A lot of the early stuff we made was like super cool shit. Like, I really loved it. Then we signed Daddy. And
that's like one of my favorites.
Sick, man. I mean, Daddy.
Oh, so sick. I still play that.
But Matt, like, honestly, if you really do ask me today, what genre is Daddy? I still don't know.
Don't know.
I don't know.
No, I have no idea.
I don't know. I do not know. It's a bit of bass house, a bit of house, a bit of breaksy, it's a bit of funk.
It's a little breaky.
It's a bit breaky. It's a bit disco-y and some of the dynamics. It's fucking weird, insane tune, but that everyone loved. And I was just like, shit, this is sick. And we would love, you know, we loved it. And then from there, we just kept going. But Lyndon was very heavily based here in England. And and it just made sense that I just, because I was already in America, and I was really pushing that sound in the Bondi project. And Lyndon was just like, man, just keep going. Just go. I'm going to do my thing here. And, you know, I was with Lyndon last week, like, fucking, you know, love. And God, you know, he's been annihilated. He's been crushing since. So it's just like, it's amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like, but that was that, man. That was the kind of, and, you know, every now and then I'm like, oh, I really want to make some bass music. I have that itch, because I know when I make bass music, it's some fucking weird shit. So I have that An Eye for an Eye, it's called. It's, I think it's got like maybe like 50 followers. Like, you know, I never pushed it. It's, we did, I did one track. So An Eye for an Eye is myself and a friend of mine, who is Matt Devine. He's a video director.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
Yeah, and so he did the Butter video for Bondi. He did the Get Up Get Out music video, and so we have this project together where, you know, I make the music, he makes the music video, and we did An Eye for an Eye. So it's like one eye for one eye, and then there's one track, and then I did a drum and bass remix of it. And the original was like a grime on steroids kind of tune. But the drum and bass fucking tune is sick, man. It's like some Hospital Records, like, really mean. Like, I love that shit. Sometimes I really want to do more.
Rude shit.
Yeah.
Yes, I love to hear that. I mean, I love to hear too that you have like this other thing that you're doing that's fulfilling the other side of your musical passion. And you said this before, like you're just doing it because you like to do it, and that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. Just I have to do it. And when I'm in there, I have to have a good time. The moment I'm not having a good time, there's a huge bell that's ringing over my head, above my head, and it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's time to shut it down.
What are you doing? You need to have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's work. So I'm not saying the work part, sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it's just focus and it's quiet. It's not like, yeah, I'm having a great time. It's not that. It's just like
Yeah.
when it's like becoming a burden, it's just like, ugh, why am I'm not feeling this. Then it's
Yeah, it's
wrong.
time to.
Like it's
Yeah,
can't be,
absolutely.
you know? So that's that.
I love it. Well, I'm getting close to like the last question. And I just wanted to ask one more question that kind of relates to what you just said. You've talked recently about producing music without limits. And you talked just now about like doing, a little bit of a side project with your bass music. Is there anything else that you like want to get into or expand your musical DNA out into the world? Do you want to like produce pop music, or do you see yourself doing anything else other than just dance music?
Yeah, I mean, I think because the thing is, I haven't put myself out in the into the world as, you know, the world doesn't really know I can make a goth 1985 goth track from Berlin, or I can, you know, do it, write an entire like indie or rock or, you know, song from, you know, with verses and bridges and hooks, and people don't really know that. But yes, the answer is like, of
Yeah.
course, I'd love to get into writing more for pop or bands or, you know, artists, and even produce for other things than electronic. But I have a couple more side projects that I never really talk about. I never really kind of like go to my Born Dirty page and be like, hey, here's my side project. It's kind of like,
Yeah.
I did it recently with the singing thing that I do. I was just like, and it
Right.
kind of was a mistake. I was posting on TikTok on my side project, and it said share, and then I shared, and I realized somewhat it shared it on the Born Dirty page, and I didn't realize straight away. And the people were like, yo, this is sick, like an acoustic song, a cover. I'm singing, playing
Yeah.
guitar. And I was like, fuck. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna leave it there. And it's called Rose Riot. And so I have that, and then I have something else as well that I really don't want to mention, but I'm already releasing music on some, you know, on labels. People don't know, and it's normal. It's a very small project. Like again,
Yeah.
just started. I've had like a single and a remix. I have another single coming out in April. Another remix for the artist's label.
Yeah.
So it's fun, you know. It's just I'm having a good time. But Born Day is the focus even more than ever right now, because you know, the release with D4 Dance, the there's some really
Right.
good shit like brewing. So I'm really focused on that right now.
Love it.
Yeah.
Final question before the speed round, and I ask everybody this question. What excites you about the future of dance music?
Oh my God. Oh, I went into a really dark tunnel here. I was trying to really see the light at the end of it. Look, for me, electronic music, it really what's really going to keep us excited, and I think keep it exciting is the live side of it. As long as we can come out and all be like literally together, because there you want to call it cheesy or whatever you want, like at the end of the day, the togetherness of energies in a place is always going to make something particular and quite incredible. And with the energies and the music and the, you know, as long as we out there making it, I think that's what I'm excited about. The problem is, I find that a lot of things are getting dumbed. The technical sides of things are getting dumbed down. And you know what? Sometimes it's good. But yeah, to a point where, you know, I want to see more live than just coming live with a USB yeah. and pressing play. I'm guilty of it too. I'm putting myself right. in that bag too. Sometimes, you know, I get my yeah. USB. You would have come and seen me before 10 years ago, you know, wherever. I was fucking grinding that thing. And I find like today, I'm just like sometimes, you know, with the house, like sometimes you just kind of like step back and just go with the groove and change a few things. And I'm still pretty dynamic, but yeah, I feel lazy compared to where I used to be. And I feel like I don't want that to get too much into that side of the you know. And with AI, we're not going to go too hard on this conversation, but AI yeah. is a very heavy, it's right here, it's right, it's been there, but now everyone, yeah. we almost all talking about it.
Yeah.
Guaranteed in 2, 3 years, 5 years, who the fuck knows who made what?
It's true.
Now someone could it's be like, so how important is that? Is it important? The results, is the results more important than, you know, who made it or how good is it?
Right.
Now if the AI like makes some fucking Jeff Mills meets fucking Carl Cox meets like Aphex Twin, you know, et cetera, et cetera, like some fucking legendary shit. And it's like, you're like, oh my God, what the fuck? Wow. I'm happy to hear it, but I'm not yeah. really happy for someone to like pretend they made that, you know? And we all know right. in the industry, people pretend to make shit all the time. And that's whatever. All the time. It's limited. There's some people do it.
Right.
But how is it going to be in 2 years, and 3 years, and 4 years, and 5 years, where everything is made by AIs, from the artwork to the right. music to the vocals? You know, we saw just, you know, David Guetta just fucking did it. I thought I was
oh yeah, the Eminem thing.
I thought I was sick. I personally yeah, thought.
I thought it was. I thought that shit was fucking crazy. I was like, how the fuck do I do
I
that?
I thought like, I was sick. I was like, fucking hell. You know, I'm not gonna play it. But in a way, in my mind, yeah. I was like, that's a fucking banger. What the
it fuck? It is, 100%.
What the fuck? And then that's my point. Like, that's that. But how, you know, your question, it's a hard question to answer because it's,
yeah.
I'm not in the most, like, I'm trying to stay positive, but I really don't, I'm in that tunnel where I'm trying to see what is the light at the end of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel that. I can feel that. It's real. There's a lot of uncertainty happening right
so
now.
So much, man.
A lot. So we're much. In a real in general, just in there's a lot of uncertainty, and that always transfers over into the arts. And technology is moving way faster than our brains can even imagine.
I mean, I keep saying we're going to be obsolete. I keep saying it, and yeah. it sounds very like dooming and whatever. But I feel, what is the point of like, who knows how long it's going to take to have, you know, Blade Runner type of people, like AIs.
Right.
Like I'll talk to you, or you talk to me and I'll be an AI. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you and you be an AI, but you sweet and you're exactly you. And I have no problem. I wouldn't be judging. Oh, you're fucking AI. Like I'd be like, you seem to have a conscience, which is going to be very tricky. And to the point where I wonder, that's very scary, to the point where at what point the AI is going to be like, dude, like you are boring and obsolete.
That is a frightening future.
It is. And I'm hoping it's going to take a while till we get there. Yeah, but we can still, you know, fucking just be there. But you know, I'm also a huge fan of science fiction, so it's just I always go into the fucking end of time.
Oh no, I binge watched Black Mirror
yeah
late at night because my wife won't watch it because she says it's too scary.
But,
and I was like, yeah, but after watching it, I was like, wait, isn't some of this shit already available
It
right
is.
now? Like there's the drone, the bee
Yes,
drones.
it is.
They already have
Of course they
those.
do.
Like
But you know,
the
because Black Mirror.
monitoring your children, like all of that stuff's already available. That's
The thing
frightening.
with Black, the well, even the points, the, you know, the lights,
Yes, the social credit
it's
system.
already existing. It's just
Yep.
why Black Mirror really, not only because it's obviously my, you know, it's only my thought on it, but it's just not only because it's written incredibly and it's directed incredibly, acting incredibly, everything's fucking banging about it. And it's
Yeah,
very
100%.
simple the way they present it, in a sense of like you can, you know, it's just a banger, but super fucking deep. But
Right.
they picked all the subject they picked is things that were either on the edge of just about to be existing. They already knew
Right.
they were doing all the fucking
Yeah.
research. It's all happening now. So you
Yeah.
watching this thing and everything inside you is telling you, fuck, like that seems like it's gonna happen next week. And it is.
It is. It
And it
is.
is. And so, yeah, I mean, how can we not be like, I'm still trying to be positive, you know, I fucking take a day at a time and I'm just trying to enjoy. I don't try to think about this. I actually do not. But if someone asks me, then I think about it and then
Yeah.
I'm
Then
like, this is, I think, where it's going. But
well, fuck me. I'm sorry for bringing it up then.
it's all good, man. I love talking about shit like this.
So do
I'm
I.
really scared
Well,
about the fucking 10 questions you have thingy, but let's try.
these are all easy. We're getting back into the light side of
Okay,
things
because
now.
I'm really no, because I'm really bad. My head is like I'm really bad with names and stuff like that. If these are the kind of questions, I
No,
might
no.
fuck up.
These are
Go.
easy things. So let's get into
Let's do
it.
it.
The first one's really easy. What was your first thought this morning?
Oh, that I had really good sleep.
Yes,
Yes,
I love to hear
finally. I
that.
was like, finally. Yes.
I love to hear that. Would you rather never hear your favorite song again or be forced to play your least favorite song in every set you play forever?
I would rather not hear my favorite song again.
Your least favorite song must be really bad.
It must be really bad, but I have so many favorite songs that
That you can just delete
I'll
one.
just delete one.
It's cool. All right.
It'd be hard.
Would you
It'll
rather?
be hard.
It'd be hard. Like letting go of a kid, but hey,
I got another one.
someone's got to take one team. Would you rather only be able to whisper or only be able to shout?
Whisper.
All right. Favorite food to eat in London?
Caribbean.
Nice. Biggie or Tupac?
Biggie.
Yes. If I looked at your recently played tunes on Spotify, what would you want to hide?
That's a good one. I have to think about this one. One of my tunes, right?
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be.
Oh, no, like any
Any song.
tunes.
Anything that you recently listened to on Spotify that you want to like keep on the back burner, on the down low. You don't want
I
anybody
mean,
knowing.
that's a real, that's, I don't even really know. I don't know.
Sir, there's sneaky Justin Bieber in there
I'd
or
have to
something.
go onto my playlist. I have to go on Spotify to see, because right now, top of my.
I'm gonna hit you up later for the answer to that one.
Okay.
If would you rather be forced to sing along or dance to every single song you hear?
Ask me that again.
If would you rather be forced to sing along or dance to every single song that you hear forever, for the rest of your life? You have to pick one. You have to either sing along to it or you have to dance to it every time a song comes on.
Oh God, that's a rough one. Dance.
Yeah, good choice. If you could pick any era of history to live in, what would you pick?
Any what? Sorry.
Any era of history.
I've already lived it.
Oh,
Yeah.
I like it.
The
Yes.
90s.
Nice. The 90s were
The
dope.
90s was sick, man. Mid-90s.
Yeah. That's like, those were like my high school years. That was a good time.
Love the 90s, man. For sure. Although
Yes.
I do have a fantasy about the 60s because I always loved the music and then the
Right.
cars, the colors, the pastel, the milkshakes, the cliches,
Yeah.
the being like picking up the girl at the parents, but all that was like, it was the romanticized
The romanticized
version of
version.
it, but when you start
Yeah.
digging, it was fucking dark.
Right. That's 100% true. Since you're going to Miami, this is a good one. What's worse, random people you haven't spoken to in years hitting you up for guest list, or a hangnail?
Or hanging out with people.
Or a hangnail. A hangnail. You know when a little piece of skin comes off on your nail and it's like stuck there, like you rip your skin off on your nail. Which one is worse, the guest list or that little piece of skin that gets in the way of
No,
everything
it's
that you do?
definitely the skin. The guest list, I'm just like, no. I mean,
Literally, one person has answered that the hangnail is worse. Just one person.
no,
I've asked
I
that
do
question to
not.
so many
I
people.
have zero, I don't feel threatened by people I haven't seen in ages for guest lists. I'm just like, no, bro.
No.
No. If you knew, I would probably say no. Plainly and radically, no.
I love it. If you weren't a musician, what would you be?
Probably, like what you call it, like work with like kids at risks or stuff like that. I feel like I'll be like
Nice.
on the like a social worker, I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
Or
I
old
like that.
people, stuff like that, or both.
Nice, I love
Yeah.
that. And final question. Finish this sentence. House music is.
The best is just to say the first word that pops up, but but probably not the best idea. House music. I mean, yeah. I don't really know, man. I don't really know what house music is.
That's an answer. That is an
I don't really
answer.
know what house music is.
That is an answer. And somehow one of the more insightful
Yeah.
ones. So fucking A, thank you for that.
Of course, man. I don't want to. House music is life. House music is everything. No, it's not. I just don't know. It's a lot of things. Yeah.
Well
Yeah.
said. Well, Mika, thank you, thank you, thank you
Thanks,
so much for
bro.
taking the
I'm
time out
glad
to
we
talk to me
finally
today,
did
man.
it. Glad we
Me
finally did
too.
it. I fucking flopped the first time around, so I'm glad we.
Hey, it's all good. I'm just happy it happened.
Yeah.
Like, this is one I've been looking forward to for a real long
Wicked,
time.
man.
Like, seriously, been a fan of yours for forever.
Appreciate that,
So,
dude. I appreciate that. Are you
yeah.
still in New York?
I'm one of the only ones in staff that's not in New York. I'm in
Oh, I didn't know
Oakland.
that. Where are you?
I'm in
Oh,
Oakland.
Oakland. Sick, man. Is it
Yeah, so there's like two people on the West Coast.
Oakland near San Francisco?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
man.
I'm one of the only ones on staff who's not on the East
Yeah.
Coast.
How far is it from Sacramento to drive?
Like an hour, like hour and 15 minutes.
Flight.
Flight. Oh, you don't have to
Oh,
fly
and
to
I,
San
oh, sick,
Sacramento. I can
man.
drive
Come
there.
and see us on the
Yeah.
31st. We're in Sacramento.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's
Yeah,
go.
I'm doing a monthly Wayway Records, my label. I'm doing a
Yeah.
monthly Wayway night in Sacramento every month.
You
Yeah.
are.
So the next one, next one is on the 31st. I'm bringing my homies Ray Cola, the girls from Chicago.
I know, Ray. Yeah, Ray Cola's dope.
Yeah, so they're coming out as it's their release party as well. From, you know, we're releasing something on Where We on that day. So come through, man. It's gonna be a vibe.
Yeah, no, I'm totally down.
Bring your USB key. We'll just back to back at the end.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. I'm down. Let's do this.
Keep it in mind. Just, you know, we'll be in touch before, but yeah, man, that's that. Thanks for having me, dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll talk real soon.